just feel the heart of God for this season, that there's a really strong emphasis in the heart of God to enable us and equip us to pray. And there will be many different, well, I suppose every single one of us is unique as in where we are at in our prayer life. And God knows where you're at. Okay, so he knows exactly where you are at. You can't kind of pretend. I don't know if you know that. But he's the most encouraging father in that he says, I know where you're at, but I want you to be here. That's why he wants to fill you with the knowledge of his will first. So he knows where you are, and he wants you to go somewhere tonight with understanding about prayer. And the thing about prayer is, and it happens to all of us, and that is, I'm confident there isn't anybody here who says I'm brilliant at praying. And if you are, well, I think you've got a whole lot more to learn anyway. So I can put it like that nicely. And so there are people here who probably feel like, I just haven't got a clue. And some of us who've known the Lord say, well, I know how to pray a bit, but I want to know more, Lord. So, you know, don't be condemned about where you are, but understand God wants you to go somewhere different and new. Is that okay? So we're going to go with the Lord tonight where he wants us to go through the ministry of his word and spirit. And the opener that Jesus brings to prayer, I think we're just going to look at some simple things tonight, but I think he wants to deal with our hearts too, because the Lord has this incredible way of not just renewing our minds, but getting us to respond from the inside. Okay, so he teaches his disciples to pray. They'd asked him to pray, and Jesus begins to teach on prayer. And this is what we call the Lord's Prayer. And he said, when you pray, say. Okay, so don't just think. Okay, so when you pray, talk. Just like, you know, say it out loud. So if you tell somebody to say something, they've got to use their voice. Okay, so when you pray, I think in the wisdom that God knows everything about us, he knows that if we're talking, we actually become more engaged with the conversation than thinking. Because if we think, our minds can go anywhere. But it actually helps us to be far more focused. So when you pray, Jesus says, say, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Okay, we're just going to look at those two lines. Our Father in heaven. We're not going to go into the Your Kingdom Come tonight, although we really want it to. Our Father. Now, there's a commonality, there's this unity that we have together, that we all share the same Father. Brilliant. Our. So Jesus is talking about his people, saying, God is your Father. If you're a born-again believer and follower of Jesus Christ, we have a Father that we share. Our Father in heaven, he's of another sphere, another realm, another place, far superior place than the earth. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. This is the way to pray. Now begin with Father. We know he's God, but begin with calling him Father. And a child has the right to call their parent Father. Okay, so there is a mother, but this in this case we're talking about God the Father. And God has children. We are born of God. When we have faith in Jesus, our first birth gets changed to a new birth. And we're born of God, new creatures in Christ Jesus. And the Bible says how great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. So immediately, he said, when you start to pray, think of the Father in heaven, God, who loves and lavishes his love on his children. What a wonderful start to prayer. Think your Father loves you and wants to lavish his love on you. You know, on a Sunday morning, I love to see the children run in. And if some of the worship team up here playing and they see a parent, they just want to run across and say and throw themselves at their dad or parent, mum. And it's like this wonderful word that you and I are privileged to use as God's children. Now, when Jesus starts teaching then on prayer, he says, I want you to begin with a relationship. And don't just jump into what you want God to do. Jump into him, not into asking. So our Father in heaven, come to the person who is a Father who loves you. Now the Father loves us. He's caring. He's kind. He's gracious. He's generous. He's forgiving. He actually loves all his children the same. He has equal love for all of us. Isn't that brilliant? Because some might think they'd prefer them. He would prefer that one over there. Or I'm sure he much prefers them. Or I'm sure he prefers me. I don't know where you're at. But God has no favorites. Because we're all his favorite. Isn't that wonderful? Our Father, Jesus says, who cares for us, loves us. And Jesus says, come to him and focus on who he is. Hebrews 11 says, whoever comes to God must believe he is. So our Father is. In other words, he exists. He just is who he is. And he is a rewarder of those who come and seek him. It's funny, the rewards of all that he does are out of seeking the person. The giver, not the gifts. So come to your Father and believe that he is. So you need to use your faith that he is there and he exists and you're coming to a person. Communication is the key to all relationships. And it is the key to our relationship with God. When you come and pray, say, start talking. Our Father in heaven, address him. Now, once we have this revelation of a loving, generous, gracious Father, who's always kind, always the same, never has an off day like a moody parent might. He then says, say, hallowed be your name. So he's continuing in the same words, saying, use our Father, use the name of the Father, but then begin to hallow his name. Now that's not a street word today. It's not slang. It's actually a very important word to a Christian. Because even though God is a Father and we as children of God have the Holy Spirit in us and we cry out this kind of the language God the Spirit witnesses with us, Abba, Father, which is like the Jewish or Aramaic term of Father, but it's a respectful but intimate thing. He says, hallowed be your name. So in other words, don't just keep the one side of the coin, which is Father, but he's also God. And God says to use, Jesus says to use this word hallowed, which is to have reverence and honor, that he is set apart from all. all others, all people then, all things, everything created, that our Father is set apart holy. He is perfect. He's way above all others. He's perfect love, but he is perfectly righteous. He's faithful. He's true. He's almighty. He is the resurrection. He is the life. He is the way. He is God, eternal, almighty. He's the deliverer. He is great. Okay, so there is this revelation all the way through Scripture that when, especially in the Old Testament, when people met with God, they took their shoes off. Now, we have an intimate, up-close and personal relationship with a loving Father, but it's always best to keep your shoes off in the sense that you revere or are in awe of who you're talking to. Because if you marry the two, our Father and hallowed, you'll have the right relationship. This is what Jesus is doing. The wisdom of the ages is teaching his people to pray. And he is saying, you need these two things in your prayer life. Intimacy and honor. Love and respect. Awe, fear of God. And if you have those two things, then your relationship will be in right balance. You know, if you go too far and then the daddy side, then it gets all mushy and soulish and ridiculous. It's not a proper biblical revelation. But if you go the other way and it's just God, awesome, mighty, holy, it's like you lack the love. You're all power, but not love. We all need the mix. This immediate relationship that Jesus opens up is this loving Father who we're to be in awe of. And we're to hallow his name means to actually give him honor, respect, glory. Now, what happens if we start praying as Jesus intends us to start, with a communication relationship with this God who is Father and hallowed, is that we remove focus off ourselves. Do you know what a miracle it is to pray without looking at you? Do you know how much you're going to enjoy prayer when you're not the focus? I don't know if anybody in this room has ever experienced stopping looking at yourself. It's a joy. Or the other thing is, the miracle is to not look at your problems. That's huge. And so Jesus, once again, I keep thinking the wisdom of the ages is teaching his people tonight. Start with him. In heaven, in another sphere, don't think about the earth. Be in awe of him. And what's going to happen is you're going to get perspective that will completely change you and the way you see everything from that point onwards. So if you launch at that point in prayer, you're going to be really different than coming in, God, I need a miracle again. Do you know what kind of crisis I'm in? Did you not hear me yesterday? I'm in problems. This is going wrong. That's going wrong. Issues here, there, and everywhere. Are you listening to me? Instead of, Father in heaven, just free yourself up to relationship. It's good, isn't it? Jesus teaching his people to pray. And if you will apply the will of God for your prayer life, then you're going to enjoy praying. Because it'll be about a relationship with a God who loves you and who sees the most important thing in saving you was to be in relationship with you. not to just do stuff for you. He didn't just save you to work for him. He saved you so you could know him and be in a relationship, a two-way relationship with him. When we are in relationship failure, so when that relationship is missing, so if you imagine you started your prayer life or your time of prayer with, miss the two lines and go, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give me today daily bread. Forgive me. All of that, you're going to miss a whole lot of relationship. Can you see that? And when there's relationship failure, God can become a bit like Amazon. I really enjoy ordering things on Amazon. I love the system that I can go online and don't have to spend the time going shopping. I think it's a great time saver for me. Sometimes I like to go around the shops, but if I know what I want, I can go online, make sure the price is just right, order it, and hopefully get it delivered pretty quick. And isn't that really how a lot of prayer, when people pray, is they treat God a bit like Amazon, a delivery service, where they click, get it in the bag, and off we go. And honestly, it's really easy for your prayer life or your relationship with God to become business-like. I thought that this morning when I was prepping, that we treat God like a business and have a business meeting. Get round the table and just talk about what needs doing, what we need you to do, so that actually this business can function of being a Christian. And, you know, that what's lacking in a business meeting is a relational dimension to our lives. And if we lack relationship, very soon we get into problems in our Christian life. If our relationship with God isn't good, things start to go wrong. And Jesus teaches us in his word, and he shows us one of the things that can go wrong when we stop relating to God and we treat him like it's only just business. And actually, we're going to see from scripture tonight that God himself has a problem with a relationship failure on our part. He himself doesn't like it. We know we shouldn't. Probably if you've known the Lord long enough, you know you should have a personal relationship with the Lord, not just a corporate one, not just something that you kind of talk about doing but you never do. But to be on your own with God and to spend time praying and being with him and knowing him, it's actually the key point of your salvation. And it's actually the only thing that will keep you going all the days of your life is your personal relationship with God. And you're only as strong as your own time with God as a Christian. Which is why so many people buckle and fail in times of crisis, because they don't really have a real relationship with God. Or so many get so dry. And a little, you know, when your relationship with God suffers, your relationship with people does too. You become a little bit hard, prickly, I call it, the prickly pear brigade, where, you know, you're always sparking with other Christians. You're always having an issue with someone. Don't like this and you don't like that. And then you become the complainer that actually sends letters in and says, I don't like. Or I'm going to give that person a good talking to. It should be done a different way. And I'm pretty confident I know which way it should be done. And I'm going to tell them which way it should be done. I know a better way than you know. And that is the effect of a distanced relationship with God. Because you're only as good relationally with people as you are in your relationship with Him. Telling you, this is good powering up. We're going to power up. Okay, this is not, once again, to make you say it's to inspire us to move on and to go from where we are to where God wants us to be tonight. So God Himself has a problem if we just have a business ask, I need this, and just go to prayer because of requests. And we're going to read, and I trust that the Holy Spirit will speak what He wants to every individual here tonight, including me. We're going to read the problem God has when the relationship is failing between Him and His people. And you're going to look in, we're going to look together in Revelation chapter 3. Thank you, Lord. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Makes you want to know Him, doesn't it? I trust. That's the goal that Jesus has for prayer. Makes you want to know Him. Revelation chapter 14. Now, God is speaking to the church of the Laodiceans. And throughout these few chapters, God is talking to different churches, and He comes to this particular church called the Church of the Laodiceans. And chapter 3, sorry, and verse 14. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14. And He starts by saying this: these things say the Amen. Jesus is the Amen, the so be it. The faithful and true witness. This is who Jesus is. This is His names. Hallowed be your name. The beginning of the creation of God. So Jesus is speaking as the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Now God's speaking to His church and He's saying, this is who I am. You know, yes, I'm your Father, but this is me talking. Now, if I had been in that church, and maybe we should listen to it in the same way as if He was talking to us tonight, I'd have been, wowzers, look at who's talking. We get so used to hearing from God that we kind of should sometimes step back and go, this is awesome, that God should speak. And this scripture is often this kind of, particularly one particular verse is used for soul winning, for people who aren't saved. But actually it's written specifically for believers. So this is what Jesus wants to say to believers. And He says, I know your temperature. I've summed it up, but this is what God is saying. I know your temperature. God has taken our temperature. Now that's an awesome thing for me that He's taken mine. Okay, so no, if we are all, God is saying, I've taken your temperature and I know what you are. And I'm not telling you what you are, I'm just saying God has already knowledge of our temperature. And He says, I know your works, that you're neither hot nor cold. I could wish you were cold or hot, I wish you were one or another, extremes. Cold for me is speaking of an absolute sinner who doesn't want God. Hot is like full-on zealous, a true disciple of Jesus. He said, you're not those, you're not either, you are lukewarm. Let's read this. So then, because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Now that's, you know, when you have a I hate cold, going cold tea. If I ever have a cup of tea that's gone slightly cold, I literally want to spit it back out. I'm too polite to, usually, unless I'm on my own. But God says, actually, I don't like a lukewarm believer. Blech! And it's like, I just don't like this. And God's saying, I've actually got a problem with it. I know that you know you should be close to me, but you're not. You're only in the middle. You kind of go to things when you want to go to them. And these Laodiceans, probably a bit like in our culture today, where there's such a draw on being involved in so many different things in life, so busy, and doing really well. They were quite a wealthy church. I won't read the whole scripture, but they actually thought they were fine. And heaven help me and you if all the time we think we're fine. And we don't think we need to make some changes. Because we are then in the most dangerous place called deception. But this isn't, I'm going to go through this because this is a bit of a telling off. I have to put it straight from the word of God. It sounds like a telling off to me. Does it you? Is God telling off his church? He is having a go. Like a parent does occasionally have a go. Has any parent ever had a go at their kids who they love? God's having a go. And he's saying, I can't tolerate it anymore. I've got to get rid of you out of my mouth, this coldness. You see, God can easily be replaced by other things. God, not church, God, right? God can be replaced. Other hobbies, other stuff begin to fill our lives. And you can kind of become someone who just says, I want to do something, so I will. With no reference to, God, is it your will? Not your will be done, but I want. And instead of God being Lord, we suddenly begin a takeover, which causes lukewarmness. And I can imagine the prayer meetings of the Laodiceans. Half-hearted affairs. People would show up if it suited. Not many there. The worship, they would probably watch the band. But there was no zeal or passion from the congregation. There was just a bit of lukewarm, did I like that song, rather than do I love God? Can you see how everything can go wrong if our relationship with God isn't hot and it becomes lukewarm? And a lot of problems can be easily fixed if we get hot again. It's amazing how many relational problems will be sorted if we get hot. How many worship issues and prayer issues will change because we come back to our first love, Jesus. A relationship with the one who loves us. Maybe they listened to the word, the preaching of the word, and went home and said, did I like it today? Was it good for me? Or, I don't know what on earth, you know. I didn't like that today. And maybe the word never really changed them. They never, from one year to the next, stayed the same, lukewarm, passive, looking very similar to the rest of the world. And God says, I want to vomit you out. I don't like this. This is not church. This is not what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Now that's, this is quite strong language from the Bible, isn't it? For me, it's like, Father in heaven, and it really is, hallowed be your name. We're in awe of you, Lord, tonight, because you are testing my temperature. If we are called, as Jesus says, to love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul, all our strength, there's no room for half or lukewarm, is there? And God says, I actually sacrificed myself for you. That's how much I love you. But the response isn't coming back. It's only half-hearted. And so God says, I want to speak into this relationship that we have together. And I want to change it. I want to see some changes. That's what God is saying. And God would say that to me too. Okay? I'm in the same meeting as you. We're all listening to the same word. And hopefully it's being recorded, because I'm sure there are many more who need to hear this word tonight. The good news is that he says, verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Don't you think that's good news? He's basically saying, my love hasn't changed for you. I'm giving you a bit of earache, sorting you, but my love for you hasn't changed. I still love you in exactly the same way as when you were hot, but I don't love the way you're relating to me. Okay? So he says, I love you. And I have this right, God is saying, because I love you, I rebuke you. There's something about God as a father, and that is something that you and I need to be really good at, and that's taking correction. Because if we won't be corrected, we're like illegitimate children, outsiders, not members of his family. And God actually is a God who disciplines his children. He corrects them. And he needs to correct sometimes. Have you noticed? And in many ways throughout my life, I don't like correction. And I've had some pretty strong, serious correction. And I still do. God is continually sorting stuff. I don't like it, but I love it. Because I know that he knows what's best for me. And I know that he's good, and I know that he's a loving father. So, and I also know he's my God, so he's got the right. And he says, those I love, I rebuke, I chasten. And he says, he uses this word, repent. Now, if I had been in that meeting when this first was delivered to that church, I'd have been sat there going, I'm not right with God. I haven't been right in my relationship with him. I'm so sorry, Lord. Rather than, whatever. Who gives? It's only one of those power-up nights. We usually get them in September. And we miss the point that God's trying to communicate. Say something. You know, fake Christianity. I have been amazed at how fake comes over. Looks good on the outside, but isn't the real deal. And the danger of fake is one day that house is going to collapse. One day it'll go. And God says, repent. Repent is a joy-filled word for me, as long as I believe the good news that he loves me. He It's not repent saying, oh, I'm always wrong, I never get it right. My relationship with God, I never, what's the point? It's not like that. It's not, that's not true repentance. Repentance means, yes, be sorry for the state you're in. Say sorry. But to repent means to change your heart and mind. Make a change, a choice, and say, Father, I want to change my relationship with you and come back to knowing you and being with you. Right? That was the, that's what he's asking. Response is change and come back. God's drawing his people. He's correcting them, but he's saying, I love you. I want you back. I love you. I want you back. I love you. I want you back. Are you listening? So make some changes to come back. This is God then starts, he uses this verse 20, and we're going to read this together. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Imagine. God stands at the door and knocks. And then he speaks. If anyone hears my voice, in other words, I am speaking, I'm outside saying something, and opens the door, I will come in and dine with him. I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. Right. This is written to believers. Are you there? It's not an evangelistic word. It's to his church. And he's saying, I'm standing at the door. Well, what door? Isn't Jesus the door? Well, yes, he is, to heaven. But if you imagine me as the believer who has a door and God standing on the outside, it doesn't mean I don't know God. It just means he's outside and separated from my life and relationship. You think of my own house, I've got doors, and I can live in one room, and I share with Sandra, she can live in another. Well, she does. But, you know, if I go in the living room, but in the dining room, if she's in the dining room, I can just live separate. But if I open the door, she can come in, watch telly, I don't know, read, I don't know. But if I always lived with a door, we would live in the same house, but not together. And God's saying, behold, I stand at the door, I'm knocking. I want back in. I want in. And he says, if anybody's listening and hears me and repents tonight, he said, I'm going to come in to them. Imagine that, God coming in. Think of it. God's presence. Once again, experiencing him, knowing him. Loving him, experiencing the joy of being with him. Rather than shouting your orders through the door, could you do this for me? I want you, Lord. I want you. I don't just want what you do. I want you. And there is a cry in the heart of God here that says, if you hear, I'm coming in to the one who opens. He says, Lord, I'm sorry. I want to open my heart, my life to you afresh tonight. Father in heaven, you're holy, you're set apart. But I just thank you for the privilege of saying yes to you tonight. Come back to loving you and being with you. I want back. And God says, not only will I come to him, he says, I'll dine with them. Talk about dining with God. I love going out for a meal with somebody, a friend. But imagine dining. Talk about come dine with me. Dining with God? What message is Jesus communicating about what is possible relationally? He's communicating something, isn't he, about prayer? Relationship. He's communicating something that is so possible for all of us that he wants, but will you let him in? And give him that space. Break down every separation to that intimacy with him. And say, Lord, I want to eat with you and drink with you and talk with you. When you share a meal with someone, by the end of it, you know them better. And if you don't, mind you, some couples, I must say, I've seen the phones on, watches on. Hang on, I just got to take a business call. And you're like, they're not together. Or they just don't talk. But God's talking about a real relationship and eating and drinking. Now, biblically speaking, you know, we can eat his word. It's full of nourishment and goodness. The Bible says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. When we come to the word of God, we can feast. Have a feast on the word. And drinking is speaking of the Spirit, the life of the Spirit. Jesus said, whoever comes to me, whoever's thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And he's speaking of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the life. You know, we need the Holy Spirit. Softening, loving. Where you used to have a problem with somebody, you don't anymore because the love of God is just filling you. You're like, oh, I love them so much. I want to lay down my life for them. It's easy to serve. It's easy to take instructions from that leader because I love them. I mean, we need the Lord. I really mean it. We need him. We need the Holy Spirit. We need to drink. We need the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, the gentleness, the self-control, the fruit of the Spirit. And so Jesus says, if I am knocking, because I don't just want prayer to be about knowing that he's your father and knowing all the facts about how great he is and honoring him and just getting everything right. I want it to come from the heart that actually we're going to share life. And the more you talk with someone, the more you get to know them. The more you eat of his word, the more you'll hear his voice. And the more you drink of his presence, the more life of the Spirit you will experience. Zeal will return. You cannot help if you truly do sit down and eat and drink with him and dine with him. You cannot help that your love grows. You can't help it. The heat goes up and you're like, you're awesome. You're amazing. And I mean it, Lord. I just think you're... I rang Pastor Andrew today and she'd been spending some time with the Lord and she said, he's altogether lovely. I mean, Jude, he's altogether lovely. Everything about him is lovely. I'm going, yeah, he is. But she was like, zeal. Not, never talk about God outside church. Come on. He saved you so you could be with him. And know him and be in a relationship with him. So repent, beloved. Let him in. And start something fresh in his will tonight that will set you on a journey. Wow. where you actually will become someone who loves him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And then the fruit of that is you'll love everybody as yourself. Soft, filled, kind, gracious, serving, giving, generous, blessing. Praise the Lord. Okay, we're there. You ready to pray? To respond. Well, Lord, I think the first thing that we can do is respond to a loving little rebuke from Jesus tonight. Is that okay? And that would include me. And so I feel that there is something in the heart of God that's calling us. And out of the relationship will come the same works as Jesus. And greater still. Will come the mega answers. Awesome deeds. You understand that? But everything has its source and roots in relationship with him. Now, I don't know if you could see yourself as having a door that you want to open, because that's the visual that Jesus uses. But I would like us to maybe, because I know that some of you look a little bit tired, be good to stand up and go and be on your own somewhere, or just move a little bit, just so that you could feel you're a bit away from someone else, and just say, Lord, I want to repent. I want to change. I want to make some changes. And begin to use the prayer, you know, Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. I want to eat with you. I want to drink with you tonight. And just spend some time in your presence. Okay? So I don't know if you're comfortable and fine where you are and you can pray without being aware of the person on the either side of you, fine. But it needs to be between you and God, I'm saying, okay? And some of you might want to move. Some of you might want to stay put. And just let's have some time of just letting God into that place, back into intimacy with him. Thank you, Lord.